Absalom Kearney worked quickly. Down on her knees in the backyard, she could feel the wind starting to move around the garden. She wanted to get 6 bags of mulch around her squash plants before lunch. The forecasters said the first frost was going to be a killing one, and the plants were her babies, the first thing she'd planted in her first ever garden. She took a sheet of the Buffalo News. Yesterday's paper was fluttering under a rock next to her, and laid it on the top level of mulch, then piled some of the leafy stuff on top. The plants danced in the wind, the tomatoes red with stripes of green. She'd put one of the speakers up to the back bedroom window, and the radio was playing. It was something people used to do during high school parties back in the county, the two-fisted Irish-American stronghold she'd grown up in on the south side of Buffalo. She was playing NPR on the local station, Science Friday. She wanted to hear voices as she gardened. The host was talking to some UCLA physicist about the Higgs boson, dark matter and dark energy and hidden dimensions. Their voices drifted out over the backyard, interrupted by the buzzing of bees and the scrape of leaves as they were blown across the wooden fence before falling to the ground. Abby usually loved to feel the loamy mulch on her hands, but she had just had a mani-pedi the day before and didn't want to ruin her sparkling red nails. She breathed in the stuff's rich fragrance as she spread it evenly in the small garden and smiled as she did so. The big Victorian painted Kelly green was her first place with a yard, and she'd surprised herself at how she'd taken to gardening, to anything connected with nature, honestly, as she'd always seen herself as a city girl. But now she wanted to hold on to her first summer here, to have one last crop from her little stakehold. The 4th bag of mulch was gone. She bunched up the plastic and got up, wiping her forehead with her sleeve and feeling a wave of pleasant tiredness sweep through her. She stopped a moment to watch the wind toss the tops of the 100-year oaks in the yard next door, Ron and Charles's place. She'd invite them over for dinner when the tomatoes were ready. Her neighbors. It felt good to say that. She turned and reached for the next bag of mulch. "Where's that man of yours, anyway?" Abby looked up. A head had appeared over the battered wooden fence that bordered the side of her yard. Ron. "He's shopping for his moose hunting trip," she said, smiling and sitting back on her haunches. "He's Canadian, you know." Ron rolled his eyes. He was the more sociable half of the couple. Ron was a social worker who dealt with some of the toughest families on the East Side. Charles was a professor at the university, teaching in the English department, and he had the posture and frostiness of an academic. Abby had his book on medieval poetry on her bookshelf. "Nobody's that Canadian. He's really going to shoot a moose?" Abby laughed. "Next month, if he can find one. If not, he'll drink with his buddies and dream about me." Ron scoffed. He had reddish hair and a broad, pleasant farm boy's face. "I hope for your sake that he doesn't dream about one of those buddies. Do they have beards?" Abby stood up, stretched her back, then walked slowly and laid her arms across the top of the fence. It needed painting. Maybe she could get it in before winter came. "No recruiting people's boyfriends, especially mine. How's Charles?" Ron made a face. "Fine, I guess. He's giving one of his tours." Abby's house lay smack in the center of Buffalo's arts district. Downtown Buffalo was thick with history, and she'd found that a surprising number of her neighbors were involved with preserving it. Half of them seemed to be on the Landmark Commission, and Charles took visitors through the local sites on guided tours: the Albright Knox Museum, the Frank Lloyd Wright House, the twin spires of the faded but still glorious Buffalo State Asylum for the Insane. Which one is it today? Ron rolled his eyes. I think it's the architecture special, or the tour of the old Erie Canal, you know, the exciting one. Why doesn't he start a Famous Murders of Buffalo tour? I could lead that one. He's going to be in that one if he doesn't get home soon. Abby gave him a mock horrified look. You need a drink, hon? She asked. I do. I have a foster mom whose fat neck I'm considering strangling. You'd be saving a life. Give me 10 minutes, and I'll... The phone in her pocket buzzed. Ron, hearing it, widened his eyes and wagged his finger back and forth with an alarmed look on his face. Oh, nuh-uh, no. We have an oral contract. My need for alcohol is much more pressing than some... Abby said, hush, brushed her hands off, and reached for the phone. Don't let it be work, she thought. I could use a drink, too. She felt peaceful, the fall glory of her yard filling her with a strange contentment. The message was from the Buffalo PD's emergency channel. Marcus Flynn escaped. All personnel report HQ.